Good morning. It is a privilege to be with you again, and I mean that, a privilege. I really care about what happens over here. I care about the church. I think the church is the most strategic organization going on in the world today. I'll stop right there because that's not on my notes, but Happy New Year. Wow. Just want you to know, I was in bed at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve, so party animal right here, 9 o'clock. I was so happy to be in bed at 9 o'clock. That's funny. So how are you feeling about 2021? Got a thumbs up back there, you know? I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows. I think we're all hoping that 2020 is way back there in the rearview mirror and all the good things are coming forward in 2021. I'm not sure. But can I ask you some questions? Thank you for giving me that permission. I want to give us some questions that I've been thinking about and I think we ought to be thinking about as we launch our boat down this stream called 2021. The questions are, what defines you as a person? What defines you? What is at the core of your being that is the driver? It is the thrust of how your life is going to go in the future. We all have these drivers in us. What is it about you that causes you to think and to do what you do? Maybe said differently, what makes you you? What are your core motivations? I mean, why do you do what you do? Sometimes those are not really easy to find and to discern, but they're worth thinking about. I'd encourage you to think about it. I always try to make plans for the new year. I'm kind of a planner, goal setter, and I want to do that. And so these are some of the questions I ask myself. Some people would call it like, what's your worldview? And so a worldview is something at the core of our being that is the core assumptions of who we are. And so there's a little chart on the next slide. And it starts here, and then whatever our assumptions are, so we either assume God exists or maybe God does not exist. Whatever side you're on will determine a lot of what's going to happen in your life. Your beliefs will come from that. If you believe God exists, your beliefs are going to be coming like that. If you don't believe in God, you have beliefs that who knows where they go. And from your beliefs, these form your values. What's right? What's wrong? Are you going to be honest or not honest? Those kind of things, those form your values. And your values will produce your behavior. And so the worldview, which is internal and invisible to everybody, actually produces what is visible out there to everybody. In our behavior, they see who we are. So what is your world view? What would people see? What would you like that to be? And so to get going, I want to review. I want to talk about last week and even talk about preview what's coming today. So last week, we talked about the lady at Simon the Pharisee's house. And so we are defined by being a community. So this church, we are defined by being a community of forgiveness. We forgive one another. God has forgiven us, and so we extend forgiveness to others. Sometimes we even need to forgive ourselves, don't we? And if we're in danger, if we don't forgive, you can become a very bitter, angry, resentful, broken relationships happen, hatred even like that. I want to tell you a story about an incredible story about how forgiveness worked out in a family. Graham and Gladys Staines were Australian missionaries working in India. On January 23rd, 1999, Graham, along with his two sons, Philip, who was age 10, Timothy was age 6, they go out on a camping trip in India, and so they get in their Jeep or vehicle and they're going out to the campground. While they were there, they were surrounded by a militant group of Hindus, surrounded the car, broke in all the windows, took gasoline, poured it all over the car and inside of it, and they burnt alive Graham and his two sons. It was a shock in India. People couldn't believe that would happen. And it was a shock outside the world. Who would do that? What was even more of a shock was Gladys, his wife, who was devastated by this, as you can imagine. Within the month after it happened, she gets in front of TV and the media and says, "I forgive those militants for killing and murdering my three kids. As God has forgiven me, I'm forgiving them. And maybe they could come to know the love of Christ and the gospel." So the world was shocked. She forgave them. Wow. And this story isn't isolated. There are other stories that we could pull out of there. And so we are a church that's defined. We forgive. Just as God has forgiven us, we can forgive others, no matter what it is. Now, she may have had to ask forgiveness a number of times for this, because it probably was a hard thing to do, but she did that. But today, we are defined by being a loving community. So we, as a church, we should be people marked by and known by the outside world. We love one another. My, how they love one another. And so the way what we're going to be looking at is how we love God, and we also love others. And we love others because He first loved us. So the danger of not loving God or people is the death of relationships with God. Our relationship with God tanks, and our relationship with other people also tanks. And you know what defines us? You know, whether we're in adversity, and when we're in adversity, I think it really tests who we really are. What do you really stand for when the bottom falls out in your life? What happens to us when the COVID virus, the government ineptness, and all the things we're seeing in our world and we're shaking our heads, oh my gosh, how could this happen? It will determine who we are. Are we going to become cynical and get mad and all that stuff? Or will we stay true to the course that God has called us to be, and that is to love God and to love people? Whether there's adversity, or what about prosperity? When everything's going good, you know what happens to me? Often, God, I've kind of got it together, kind of on a roll right now. I tell you up, why don't you go out and help somebody else over there, oh Joe, because Joe needs some help. I can do it. If I need help, I can call you up, that kind of stuff. We get kind of independent during times of prosperity. I think prosperity is much more difficult to deal with in following God than in adversity. Because when it's adversity, man, I run to Jesus really quick. And so, Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." So peace is not the absence of problems, it's the presence of Christ. We can have presence, the peace of Christ in us right now, even as we go down this turbulent time, whatever 2021 is going to look like. And frankly, I think it's going to get tougher before it gets better. But I don't know. But Jesus said that. So let me just try to define where we're going here. So the Bible says, we do not let the hardships of this world shape us, define us, determine how we live. Yes, we might be affected by finances and stuff like that, but when you wake up on Monday morning, I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't care what happens. And I'm going to love people, whether times are good or whether not. But we choose God and His Word to determine who we are, and that God's truth would define us. So, can I pray for us real quick? I need the prayer and the practice, and so this is probably good. This is what we do in church. Well, good morning, Lord. We thank You for this time. We thank You that even in hard times and in good times, You are the same. You never change. You are steady. You're the same as You've always been for eternity. And so, Lord, I pray that today we might really draw near to You, that we would hear the way we might ought to look into the future of 2021. So we thank you for the Holy Spirit here. Pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our midst right now, to help us, to grow us, to challenge us, to convict us of sins, to help us repent, and to really be more Christ-like. We ask all this in your name. Amen. So we're going to look at the great commandments first. The great commandments in Mark 12, 29 to 31. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So here's what I'm telling you guys. Whatever happens in 2021, you have two railroad tracks, so to speak. One is called loving God, loving your neighbor. And all you got to do is keep your car on that railroad in 2021, and you'll be just where you're supposed to be. I could almost sing a song and close in prayer, but I'm going to give you more details, and you don't want to hear me sing. So Jesus, the context of this passage, Jesus is responding to a scribe or some kind of expert in the law. And this guy, if we read verse 28, he says, Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is most important? Good question. Did you realize that there are approximately 613 commandments and regulations in the Old Testament? 613. 365 are all negative, like don't do this, thou shalt not do this. 248 on the other side are positive, do this, do this, do this. 613. How do you manage all that? How would you like to have a book, 613 commandments in there, and all right, live the Christian life like this, buddy? I think we'd all say, well, what, can you kind of give me a summary or something? And so Jesus boils all of the law of God into one principle. Now that's, we should really listen up. He's boiling down 613 rules and regulations in the Old Testament with one principle, love, directed towards God and people. Simply, simple to understand. It is really hard to do, isn't it? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the first commandment. Love the Lord your God. It's verse 30 there. It says, love the Lord your God. Notice the four alls, the four withs. With is a preposition. Don't you like prepositions and nouns and kind of stuff? Did you want to have a little English grammar this morning? But he says, the way we love the Lord your God is four ways: with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Wow. All those four things. And so this is rooted in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It's an amazing passage about how the Word of God should be ours to teach to our kids and things like that. It's a great Christian education kind of a verse. And so Deuteronomy 6 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Let me pause for a second. If you have an ESV Bible, there's be a footnote down there. Do you read footnotes in your Bible? I heard maybe a yes. You should read the notes in there because they have other information, and there's an alternate translation that says this: the Lord our God is one Lord. Jewish people, Christians, were monotheistic, along with Islam. Those are the three big religions, all monotheistic, and it's rooted right here. There is one God. Then goes on to say, verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these passages are repeated in other places in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, but Mark, I chose Mark because Mark uses four descriptions like we just read there. So, let's start with the word love. And love is the Greek word agape. You've probably heard of that word before, or the verb agapao. And here's what it means. To love is to show or prove one's love. Think about, you know, when I was dating my wife and I was really growing into this love relationship, I was always trying to figure out how to show or prove my love to her. Kind of to separate me out from all the other 6.5 billion males in the world, that I am the unique one that she would want to hang out with. And it's the same thing with God. We want to make him feel like, you're the only show in town. You are the only God that I worship and follow. It's to long for. We long for God. To desire. And this last one is good. To place first in one's affections. God, you are the only one. Out of all the stuff going on in our world, false teachings, false gods and all that, you are the only one. Just like my wife, she is the only one. I only have eyes for her. Was that a neat song? I kind of remember that song. I only have eyes for you. Eugene Merrill put it this way. God is to be loved completely. Look at these words. Completely and totally. Because he and he alone is God. And because he has made a covenant of love with his people. An agreement. He has gone into an agreement that he is faithful to. In the covenant, God gives himself totally in love to his people. Can you imagine that? God gives himself totally into this commitment. That's a lot. I mean, God coming in and bringing all the resources in, that's how committed he is. Totally. Therefore, he expects his people to give themselves totally in love to him. There's a word in the used mostly in the Old Testament called steadfast love. Does that word sound familiar? Steadfast love, two words. Steadfast love. You'll see it a lot in the Psalms, and it is a word that talks about God is has steadfast love toward us. It stays there. It is always consistent. So, anyhow, let's try to unpack these four alls. The four times it's used there. And so, first of all, we're going to look at all of our heart. And by the way, we don't compartmentalize God. It's not like he's in my little box over here, my Sunday morning box. And then I have all this other stuff out here. And then, oh, I better go back to the box on Sunday morning to God. No, he goes with us everywhere. He's in everything we do. And that's what these four alls are talking about. Everything about you is to worship and love God. Everything about you. So, our heart, the control center of human personality, the control panel. It's like there's this huge computer screen, and all these screens are up here, and you got your keyboard here, and this thing, this operation kind of controls everything that's going on in your world. And all these screens, you know, like you see in the movies and stuff like that, these are all centered on pleasing God. Sincerely, I like that word, sincerely. I sincerely love God. Authentically, I am honest. There's integrity about this. Are you there? All of our soul, our self-conscious thought life, our mind, will, and emotion, some people would define it. And so he's talking about our life, our mind, will, and our emotions, our will. Think about that, our will. It's what we choose. It's called volition. I choose to do this because it's the right thing to do. I choose to love my wife, whether she's mad at me or loves me or whatever happens here, I am committed. I stay in there. All of our soul. Next, all of our mind, our thought capacity. Give your best thinking to God and meditate and ponder on his word. You know, meditate and ponder are two words that are used often in the Bible because God wants us to stop and ponder. Do you ponder anything? You think much about things? Well, maybe that could be a new thought for you, a new lifestyle for 2021. Because when you stop and you start thinking about things and you're processing life, processing relationships, processing circumstances, all that kind of stuff, what does God think? And He thinks it, and He will tell you what you think. And so journaling, do you have a journal? Do you have a little book that you can write in? Don't get too excited about this stuff now. Don't get too excited. All right, get yourself a journal, get yourself a pen, a place, a time, and a plan. And 2021 is going to be different because I'm really going to think about God. Because I want to order my life about what He thinks about me and what I should be doing. That's our mind. Don't let other people think for you. You need to think for yourself. Okay? That's not to say you should ignore other people and wise people, stuff like that. But boy, you need to take time to be a critical thinker. And I don't mean negative and casting doubt on all kinds of things. But you need to be able to think through things and what's right and what's wrong. And you need to be a discerning person. And this is not rocket science. He doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do. He enables us to do these kind of things. In Acts chapter 17, there was a group of people called the Bereans. Interesting people. In heaven, I want to hang out with them because they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So when Paul went into Berea and he preached, they'd say, "All right, Paul, let me think about that. Give me a week." And so he goes home, gets his Bible, reads about it. "You're right, man. I'm in." I mean, they thought about it. We should think about it. And lastly, all of your strength. Physically, to move and act so as to be in the right place to worship, to serve God in all areas of your life, your home, family, work, and church. What about townships? I'm going to talk a little bit about townships. You know, part of loving God in our strength is, you know, I'm going to go to township tonight. And you go in there. And so you actually put forth effort and you went there. But it doesn't stop there. You actually engage. "Hi, how are you? How's your life doing? What's going on? Are we going to pray tonight?" And so you're engaging the township there and do it with your strength. And I want to read another verse to kind of just summarize this section here out of Deuteronomy. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy talks a lot about how we are to love God. You wouldn't think that in the Old Testament, but that is it. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul?" Well, let's take a look at the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself, verse 31. It says, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than the two of these things. So, by the way, neighbor does not mean the people living right across the street or next to you, although that's true. But the neighbor is a reference to the people that you come into contact with on the daily of life's affairs. So when you go to the grocery store person and the checkout person, you love them. And so wherever you're at, wherever you're shopping, this is who we are to be. So let's plug in our definition to there. Oh, let me back up to Leviticus 19:1. This commandment was rooted in the book of Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So, to love our neighbor is to show or prove your love to others, or to desire to place others first in your affections, your spouse. You love your spouse, your children, extended family, mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law. Are they in that? Yes, they are. People around where you live, where you work, shop, and recreate, whomever. And wherever you come into contact with people, you love them. So I'm trying to get my actual neighbors, I try to get to know them. When they're outside, I try to go over and talk to them, and I'd really try to ask questions about them, how you doing? I try to enter into their life as much as they'll let me. I try to reach out to them that way. And then this verse, Matthew 7:12. This one is a challenge. Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. And I added this verse in there because I think the way we love our neighbor is really kind of revealed also in this verse. So it says, in everything, whenever the Bible uses everything and nothing, I think they mean everything or nothing. It's not like Jesus is saying, hey, if it feels good in that circumstance, go ahead and do it. No, you do it in everything, no matter what. Are you feel good, whether you're feeling bad, adversity, prosperity, we do it in everything, and we treat people. And we know the way we want to be treated. And so if we know the way we want to be treated, we should treat that other person the same way we would want that. Would you want courtesy and respect? Whatever it is that's out there, we can do that. And then doing this fulfills the law and the prophets. I mean, if I was to say, what are you doing today to fulfill all the law, the first five books of the Bible, and all the prophets, all the major prophets and the minor prophets, what are you doing today to fulfill those things? And you probably think, I have no clue as to what I'm doing. Well, one of the ways you can do it is just treat people the same way you would want them to treat you. And I have some practical tips here, and these might be helpful for townships. And this is just some practical ways that love can work out into our world and our ministry here. So, number one, love creates community. Community. John 13:34. A new commandment, this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I had loved you. You also are to love one another. And you think, come on, Jesus, you're God. You can love people really good. I can't do it like you do it. And he says, no, you really probably can't, but you know, you can come close. You can start doing it. And with my spirit in you, you can start to love people. Wow. What if our townships, I'm talking about, I'm in one too, and so would we love people? Would people of the surrounding neighborhood, would they say, Nelson, who are those people coming to your house? And what's going on in there? And all those kind of things. There should be love. We should be known by the fact that we love one another to the community out here. Second one, love prompts obedience. Jesus also speaking here. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, who has the word of God and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Said differently, when we obey God and his commandments, that is a way that we love Jesus. And then he goes on to say, he who loves me, there's going to be three benefits here. He will be loved by my Father, I will love him, and manifest myself to him. Would you like that in 2021? Whatever else is going on in the country, the world, all the economic stuff, the virus and all that kind of stuff, would you be defined by someone who obeys the Word of God and you feel that you're loved by the Father, Jesus Christ loves you, and Jesus is going to manifest himself to you. He's going to reveal himself to you, and you'll learn more about Jesus. This is a good thing. This is worth investing in. Prompting obedience. The next one, love provides motivation. Do you ever need some motivation in your life? 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ controls us, compels us, constricts us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, Jesus. Therefore, all have died, all in Christ, all of us who know Christ have died in Christ. We have been co-crucified with him. And he died for all, that those who live, that would be us who live for Jesus, might no longer live for themselves, but for him, Jesus, who for their sake died and was raised. Does the love of Christ influence you and motivate you? What does it mean to you to know that Jesus loves you unconditionally? Jesus doesn't say, clean up your life first. You better go through the 12-step program first. You better start obeying some of those 612 commandments. And when you got a little bit of a track record, come and see me, and I'll see if I'll let you in the kingdom. Doesn't work that way. Thankfully, it's all by grace, God's unmerited favor. God gives us the desire and the ability to do his will. Grace. Whew. Don't leave home without it. Next one, love transforms character. We need transformation in our character. Colossians 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against you, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. That was the message last week. And above, if that's not enough, and above all these, put on love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Maybe 2021, you need to think about character. Who are you really like? What do you need to work on? And so I always try and pick some area of the fruit of the Spirit or some other Christ-like thing or something out of this verse. And this year, I'm going to intentionally work on being a kind person or whatever it is. Next one, love provides a purpose. Another great township verse. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good words. Works. Or good deeds, some versions have it. And so the writer is saying, let's start thinking about this. That's what the word consider. You're considering this. And I want to consider how to stir up, how to provoke love in the other people in our group here. How can we as a township become more loving? And then there's a verse in 1 Peter 4:8 that is, wow. Above all, like Peter is saying, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Man, why did he put that in there? Since love covers a multitude of sins. I would say, if he is saying that, maybe we ought to earnestly consider how to love one another this coming year. And we're not going to be defined by all the stuff out there, the bad stuff. But we are going to be defined as a person because Christ is in me. I'm going to love whoever I come into contact with unconditionally. That's what I want to be. Next one, love compels concern. Concern for others. 1 John 3:16 through 18. Hard. These verses are easy to understand. They are hard to live unless you have God's Spirit in you. By this we know love, that he, meaning Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and the sisters. Are we a church that be willing to lay down our lives for one another? Maybe somebody I liked and loved, but what about, you know, Joe that I don't get along well? I'm not sure. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Maybe in 2021, this might be another goal for you. So let me try and summarize this, and then I'm going to skip on to some applications. So whatever happens in our world in 2021, whether good or bad, whatever economic outcome, whatever government policy changes, whatever the physical health of our world, we know for certain that we must pursue loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And that we are to love unconditionally as we pursue spouses, family, kids, parents, fellow workers, people here at the church, schools, wherever we recreate, and even our next door neighbors. That's who we are. So we are defined by God, not by circumstances. Don't let the circumstances do that to you. So I'm going to give us some things to work on. Can I do that? Because we want to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Woo, I'm telling you. You want to be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word? We don't do that here. We want to be doers of the word. And I want to read a passage here before I get to these bullet points. And it's just recently I discovered it, but in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, these things God has revealed to us. No, I'm sorry. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Think about this. What no eye has ever seen, what no ear has ever heard, nor the heart of a man ever imagined. And I think I can imagine a lot of stuff. He says, beyond all that stuff, there are what God has prepared these things for those who love him. Do you want that? Do you want to cash in on this amazing blessing of God? The answer is yes. Give me that. Give me that. And then he goes on to say, these things, the things that he's just talked about, they're going to be there. God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And so God is giving this to us. Don't settle for mediocrity in your walk with Jesus. Be a woman, a man of excellence, and say, whatever it takes, I'm going to do this coming year and the rest of the years, I'm going to follow Christ. So here's some applications. Would you evaluate how you think you're doing on loving God and loving people? And just assigning a number, 1 to 10. 1 meaning, hey, not even on the chart. 10, don't talk to me more. I've got this all together, which you're a liar if you say that. So somewhere between 1 and 10, evaluate yourself. Are you loving God well? And another evaluation, 1 to 10, do I love my neighbor? And just put that there. You can talk about it on the way home. This would be a great kickoff maybe for Township. Next question, where would you like it to be? If you're a 4, do you want to move that up to a 5 or 6 or something like that this coming year? Do you want to stay like that? Or do you want to move it up? Would you consider setting some goals for 2021 in these two areas? Goals, I'm going to love God by, and fill in those things there. And if you want, if you give me your name and your email address, I will send you on email a Word document about planning. It is a kind of a life planner, thinking ahead for 2021, 22, and beyond. Do you go to the grocery store with no list? Who does? I'm sure someone does. I've done it. I can remember. I always miss it. The more you plan ahead to go to the grocery store, the less time it takes you to get there. And when you come home, you say, victory, I got everything on the list, versus, man, I forgot the milk, you know, and then you got to go back. Hey, if we think it's important to plan at the grocery store, do you not think it's good to plan for your life in Christ in the coming years? Is your life not worthy enough to plan for what God would have for you? Are you just going to leave it to chance? I hope not. He wants us to think about these things. He wants us to live for these things. I want to be that way. Hope you do too. So let me pray. Can I pray for us? Oh, Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that this church, I pray that our church, that we would be a forgiving community, Lord, that we do not hold things against people. That we actually forgive, we relinquish the right to get even. That we would be like Gladys Staines, who, man, her family burned alive, and she had the depth of character to say, I forgive you. As Jesus has forgiven us, we forgive others. But Lord, also make us a loving community, and love is a challenge. Lord, it doesn't just happen. Lord, it is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a work of God through the Scriptures. Lord, it is us coming to you, drinking from that well, and letting the fruits of love go through us out to a lost and dying world that really wants to see, does anybody love me? I pray that this church would be a church that would be known how well they love the people of Greeley. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.